Good afternoon. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Joe Donahue. We are joined today by certified travel counselor Gene Gagnon. Gene is the president of Plaza Travel Center, a woman-owned business since 1969. The Institute of Certified Travel Agents awarded her the designation of Certified Travel Counselor in 1985. She was an adjunct instructor of travel and tourism at University College of Syracuse University and Schenectady County Community College. At Plaza Travel, she specializes in VIP travel, custom planning, international itineraries, and group travel. She is a Vox Pop favorite, so if you want to get in, now is the time to do it. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Gene Gagnon, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Nice to see you again.
It is very nice to see you again. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be doing the show, filling in for Ray, and I get to talk to you. So it's a twofer.
That's right.
Let me ask how are things going? I assume is this the busy season? Or have people already made their plans?
Yes, they've already made their plans. It's always kind of funny. I'll get a call from a TV station, you know, 2 days before Thanksgiving, and they want to know, you know, about travel. And it's like, well, you should have talked to me 10 months ago, because that's when people should be booking. So right now, it's actually a little bit slower for us, because people are either already traveling, or they haven't booked next year's yet. Like, most of the trips for the fall are already booked.
Right.
When really it hits the fan is right after the holidays in January. That's our busiest time.
And people are planning then for summer and beyond.
Yeah, so the spring, you know, they want to go away in April and May, maybe April break week.
Yeah.
They want to go in February break week, but when they call in January, it's too late. You know, so my motto is always earlier the better.
And it's hard sometimes of figuring that out of when yes, we know we have to do it early. We have dates, but then we have to nail those down, and that can be the hard part.
Right, right. I mean, you can book airline tickets up to 330 days ahead of time. So you have to look at what your return date is and then subtract about, you know, 11 months from that. Now, the problem is even then, we don't have all the schedules. There might be new flights that are coming in. There might be other flights that are going to be going away. But we ask people to try to book 10 months ahead of time, which is a lot. But, you know, that's really when you're going to get the best deals.
It's also, I find it delightful when you do it that far in advance or more, that first of all, you get to think about it longer and plan. I'm a planner, Gene.
Yes.
I love planners.
And then...
Not only is that great, but you get to, you have something to look forward to. And then when it's a bonus, you're like, oh, here it is.
Right.
It finally has arrived.
Right. Something to look forward to.
Very exciting.
Something to maybe start walking more for because you're going to be on your feet or saving for or doing more research. And the other thing is the anticipation is like 90%.
Sure.
Of the actual trip. We have people come in, and I hate to say it, but it's usually men,
yeah,
who'll come in on a Friday and they want to buy a trip to give to their wife for her like 50th birthday that Sunday, you know? And we say, no, don't do it. You know, maybe give her some brochures and tell her you're gonna do a trip. But you want her involved. Somebody wants to do that. They want to know what they want to do and look forward to it.
Yeah. I cannot imagine booking a trip without my wife.
Oh, gosh. No. We tell people,
I mean,
doctor's appointments, and, you know, that she's been waiting for a year to see. Just don't do it. It's not a good idea.
31 years. It's done well for me this long. Let's check in with Dustin, who joins us from Sheffield, Massachusetts. Dustin, how are you?
How's it going, Gene? Nice to hear from you. I always love when you're on the show.
Oh, thank you, Dustin.
We are going to Portland, Maine. We're doing 36 hours. So what's some good food and what should we see and what should we avoid? We definitely don't want any touristy anything. So just good authentic food.
When are you going?
In a month from now.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, Portland's great. Portland has really sort of like come up in the world, so to speak. They have a beautiful, beautiful waterfront, and the city is very walkable. So if you stay someplace downtown, they also have some nice newer hotels. When I say newer, I mean new to the hotel front. A lot of them are in either refurbished buildings, things like that. Really cool places to stay, so you should check that out. Staying downtown, you can walk. You can just park your car, walk. Let's see, what else is there to do? They have a great museum of art.
Yes. I mean, it's
the Portland,
fantastic.
Yes, it's really good. For the size Portland is, and then you look at their museum. So you've been.
Main artists, they have a sculpture garden. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. It's very, very nice. And then there's also, you know, whale watching tours, harbor tours, things like that to do. Their food scene, the culinary scene is excellent, whether it be seafood or Eastern coastal classics. You know, you're going to find a lot of really good food. I think you're really going to enjoy it. There's a lot to do.
There's a great
There's
a great breakfast place there called the Ugly Duckling. It's very fun.
Okay, I'm all about breakfast. Perfect.
Okay, there you go. Enjoy. Be safe. Have a great time. And thanks very much for checking in. We welcome your calls. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We also welcome your emails to voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. Gene Gagnon with us this afternoon, and we check in with Cole in Queensbury. Hello, Cole.
Hello. Thanks so much for taking my call. My question is about, my parents have been talking about planning a trip to southern France for many years, and I'm curious to know your recommendations of places that they should not miss on a week or 10-day long trip to southern France.
Okay. Well, there's so much. First of all, if you want to try to get them, if they're just going to do southern France, they can take a nonstop flight into Nice. So there's a nonstop flight from Kennedy to Nice, so that eliminates changing planes in Paris, things like that. You know, now, they could kind of do, depends upon, again, if it's only a week or not, they could kind of do a trail along the south of France. For example, they could fly into Marseille and go to Avignon first, and then maybe go to Arles, and then maybe from there end up in Nice and fly home with a nonstop. They could go round trip into Nice. You could just spend a week in Nice and do little day trips from there, going to Monte Carlo and Monaco. You could go up to St. Paul de Vence. You can go to Villefranche. You could go, oh my gosh, there's so many things to do there. So you could just do that if they didn't want to be checking in and out of a hotel. Or I would recommend Avignon is a beautiful, beautiful little village. I love that. That's where the Pope Palace is, this huge castle. Beautiful food, a great countryside. So they could do that for, you know, maybe 3 or 4 nights and then end up in Nice and fly home. So there's a lot to do in that area. You can either stay in one spot and do it or combine a couple of things. Now, if they didn't want to go down as far as the coast, if they didn't want to go down to Nice, they wanted to concentrate more on the interior southern France. They could also do Dijon and Lyon. They could do Lyon and Avignon, you know, and do kind of split the time there. Some great itineraries down there. What time of year do you think they might be going?
They'd probably be in the fall, either the fall or the spring. Try to avoid the summer.
Okay, but, spring would be great.
Did you say that the nonstop, where did you say that the nonstop?
There's a nonstop from JFK to Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And would you recommend that they rent a car or rely on trains and transit?
Well, if they're just staying in Nice, they certainly don't need a car rental. There's plenty of either trains to go to the different places, local buses, and also little group tours. Like, for example, if you're in Nice, you can join for half a day, 5-hour tour in a minivan with 5 or 6 other people and go to Monte Carlo for the day. You know, if they're going to be going, like, let's say to Avignon first, same story. They don't need a car in Avignon and maybe take the train from Avignon to Nice. You know, so you can use public transportation. Unless you really want to go from place to place to place, then you pretty much need a car because a lot of the trains don't go to some of the little mountain villages. Okay.
Okay. Very helpful. Thank you so much.
All right, Cole.
Thank you, Cole.
The trip. Thanks very much for calling. We appreciate it. We'll take one more call before we go to a break and check in with Jack in Olive. Hello, Jack. Calling Jack. Jack, are you there?
Yes.
Hello. Pondering. You're planning your trip right now. Go ahead. You're on with Gene Gagnon.
All right. Actually, I'm planning a big trip. I'm on the board of a nonprofit, and I've been tasked with finding somebody to help us set up a conference for about 300 of our members.
And where are you?
In the Caribbean.
In the Caribbean. Okay.
In the Southern Caribbean. And I wondered how I get hold of an organization that can do that. I have never done this before.
Well, there used to be several companies locally. I can't really say names, but you might want to try. I believe there's the New York State Associations. Okay, I think that's an organization. It's an association that has all the other associations in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, maybe a union, maybe CSEA, maybe, you know, whatever. You might want to contact them and see who they use now. We do not do conferences for that large.
Say it again. I lost you for a second.
New York State Association of Associations. Okay.
Okay.
So I believe that's still in existence. We haven't done them for a long time, so it may or may not be. But most people don't do large groups like that anymore because it is so, so time-consuming. The amount of money you'd have to pay somebody to do it. Like, for example, you've got to get copies of everybody's passports. You know, absolutely have to. You have to book usually about...
They would have to deal with their own transportation.
Oh, yeah. You're just talking about the hotels then? You're just talking about a hotel. Well, you still might want to contact that association and ask who they use for their conferences. And the other thing you can do is just contact hotels directly. I don't believe many local agencies handle a group that large, but you could also try just some local travel agents.
It's a big group.
It's a big group, and you have to plan about 18 months to 2 years ahead of time.
Jack,
that's New York State Association of Associations.
Yes.
Yeah. All righty. Thank you very much.
See who they use. Okay.
All righty.
Good luck.
Jack apparently lost a card game and got the job of planning a trip for 300 of his closest friends.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we used to do it, and the airlines have made it very, very difficult now. They want you to commit with names, like, you know, 6 months ahead of time. And a lot of people don't know yet if they want to go. So it's very difficult to do group travel.
Because you would think if you have 300 and you're going someplace, people would open their arms and say, oh, my God, come here.
You would
come
think,
here.
But it's sometimes easier and they get more money if they're booking individuals, you know, because somebody booking a group wants a discount.
We are going to take a break. We welcome you to give us a call or to check in. All you have to do to call us, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. That's the Vox Pop hotline for Gene Gagnon as we talk travel this afternoon on a sultry Tuesday afternoon. It's a good day to think maybe about cooler places or even next summer's getaway. And also, you can write to us, voxpop@wamc.org. We will return right after this short break. Thank you very much. Welcome back to Vox Pop this afternoon on WAMC. Gene Gagnon is our guest. We're talking about travel, and we welcome your questions as always. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Our magnificent call screener, Ed Rosen, is busy getting people loaded in. So let's go to a couple of emails while we do that. We check you in with, it's either Henry or Henri.
Ah.
And I'm going to go with Henri just because it's more fun to say.
Yes.
I hope that all of you are enjoying your day. I'll be traveling to Europe next month. I have checked with my cell service provider here in the States about their international offerings. And while the provider does have some international service, I would like to ask and see if there are other recommendations and best practices. May I ask for recommendations of what to do in terms of cell service?
Well, I know some people in the past have gotten to Europe and you can buy a SIM card. I am not as technologically savvy as a lot of other people, so I would really investigate that thoroughly. I just go with my provider.
Yes.
Okay. I get it by the month, or anytime I actually use it, it kicks on.
Yes.
I think I pay $12 a day for that unlimited service.
That was roughly what it was. I was telling Gene before the show, I went to England last month. And with my provider, I think you did it by day, and it doesn't hit in until you use it for that day, and then it's like $10 or $12.
Right. So what I did when my mom was still alive, what I would do is I would call her at like 4 o'clock on Monday, and then I would call her the next day at 3 o'clock, and that was one 24-hour period.
Yep.
You know, so you can kind of play it like that. The other thing we do a lot is we use WhatsApp,
right,
which is a free service, and you can do either video or call, as long as you have Wi-Fi, and most hotels have Wi-Fi in their lobbies, if not in the room. So we use that a lot, too. But that, to me, is the easiest. I really can't be bothered. I guess there's other things you can call and do it through them. And
don't you want to be on vacation from your phone as well?
Yes. You know, it actually, I have to tell you, that's a really interesting point. Because I've actually had to tell people while I was with them on the trip, I've had to say, stop taking pictures for a minute. Look around and just absorb where you are.
Yes.
You know, just listen and smell and look, because they're so busy sometimes taking photos that I don't think they enjoy it as much.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Great point.
Yeah. So
check in with John, who says, John is in Delaware. He said, I know you recommend travel insurance. Is there any one best policy, or does that depend on the individual's needs? And can you shop on your own, or is it better to have a travel agent guide you through the process of travel insurance?
Okay. So, you know, people, it's kind of funny that he asked, or should you go through a travel agent? Okay. Now,
leading the witness, I would say.
I could change my own oil, but I don't. Okay. I could cut my own hair, but I don't. So, obviously, I believe you should use a professional. We can cut through some of the chase. Otherwise, you're going to spend a lot of time online. But yes, there isn't one best travel insurance policy. There's a couple of things you have to check. You have to check, number one, if you are purchasing non-refundable items and how much you're going to lose and when you would lose it. Like if you canceled 2 weeks prior, you would lose 50% of it, or your airline ticket is non-refundable. But maybe you don't mind that you would get a credit if you didn't use it, or your airline ticket is non-refundable and you want your money back if you can't use it. So there's all those different scenarios. Then there's a big thing, which is, does your health insurance cover you
right
where you are going? Because if it doesn't, then you want travel insurance that has a higher coverage for emergency medical. Then there's repatriation. Emergency evacuation. We actually had somebody who was in Belgium and had a heart attack, and he had to be flown home, and it was $75,000.
Yeah.
You know, so you really have to look at what you want it for, and don't say, I don't intend to cancel, because nobody usually intends to cancel. You know what I mean? And then people also say, well, it's such a waste of money if I don't use it. And yes, it is, but so is my car insurance. But if I get into a crash and total my car, I damn well better have it, you know. So I think you have to say to yourself, listen, I'm investing $10,000 in this trip. Is it worth insuring it for like $400 or $500?
I'm in Ireland, 2019, right before the pandemic, and it's my last day with my wife, my niece, and my two dearest friends, and we're in a pub. Gene, I know you're not going to believe this, but I was sober. I swear to God, I was sober. And I went up to the bar, and I got two drinks, and I turned around, and I walked down the stairs, and I stumbled on the stairs, and I had a bilateral quadricep tear, and I couldn't walk. And the two things I want to point out to you, Gene. One is that I didn't spill either beer.
That's the most important part.
That's the most important part. But, and then you're like, well, now what do I do? Mm-hmm. How do I get home? What do I do? Right. And I will never, ever travel without insurance again. I mean, because it once you have that, there's a peace of mind that'll say,
Absolutely. Okay,
I'm going to get home. And I can help me navigate this medical system mm-hmm. in Ireland. Help me navigate the system back home.
That's right. It even covers things that you wouldn't think of. I had somebody who was flying to Amsterdam to get on a river cruise.
Yeah.
left his airport on the plane.
The passport?
I meant the passport.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Airplane, but that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, left his passport on the plane. Didn't realize it until it was too late. The insurance put him, it was a Saturday. Monday was Columbus Day, so the embassy wasn't going to be open until Tuesday. Stayed in a hotel in Amsterdam, took a taxi to and from, kept all his receipts for restaurants, etc. Then got to where the cruise was, which was already 3 or 4 days down the river. When he came home, he got reimbursed for everything, including they figured out how much he lost because of the 3 or 4 days off to the cruise. And they gave him a refund on that, too. And all of his everything, every expense.
That was a good peace of mind.
Yes. Yeah. You got to get it.
John, thank you very much for the question. Let's go to Eileen now, who is in Massachusetts. Hello, Eileen. How are you?
Hi. I'm trying to turn my radio off. Hi. Yes. I have a question about a river cruise, like through Germany, Austria, for the Christmas market.
Oh, yes.
In December. Or,
mm-hmm.
I'd love to do that.
Okay.
I'd love to do that.
There are several companies that do that, and the price ranges from like 5-star to 3-star. So there's one to fit every budget. What I recommend is you actually go when the markets first open, like towards the end of November, the beginning of December. You don't technically want to be there over the holidays because a lot of times things are closed. Plus, things are closed.
Okay.
You know what I mean? In certain places, they close, the 2 days before Christmas, 2 days after Christmas, whatever the holiday is. Mostly they're about a 7-night cruise. They usually start in one place, end in another place. But what I recommend people do, because a big part of your expense is your airline ticket, I recommend that you do maybe a couple of days before, maybe a couple of days after. So if you start in Amsterdam, for example, and then you're cruising into Germany, maybe you do a couple of days ahead of time in Amsterdam, and then a couple of days afterwards, wherever the cruise is ending in Germany. So you get the best use of your airline ticket. You know what I mean? You're going all that way.
Right.
7 nights is actually very short. And the prices can really range. The ships are very small. Okay, they're not like the Caribbean cruises.
Yeah.
They usually only have two decks. They usually only have like two decks for cabins, ranging from something with a little balcony to a very tiny inside cabin with just a little high window, so you can really find what would fit your budget and what would fit what you'd want to do. And there are many, many different companies. I love the one that advertises all the time on PBS, but there are many others as well,
because
there are different price points.
Make an appointment. Okay.
Well, you can make an appointment with any agent,
any
travel agent in the immediate area. Find an agent that you like and then give them a call and they can help you out.
Okay. Well, I've been listening to you for years now and I like you, so I'm going to call
you. You can say that. We can.
Yeah, yeah. You can say that. I can.
That's good. Okay.
But I'll mail you your $10 later. Thank you, Eileen.
Thank you very much, Eileen.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
I will be in touch.
Enjoy your trip. Bye-bye. That sounds lovely. I was actually just looking at some of the catalogs there. For that particular trip, and really beautiful.
They're lovely
offerings.
But there's some things that people have to know about river cruises that they're usually not told if they call the river cruise directly. One is that rivers can be too high, and rivers can be too dry and low. Okay, so you've got this small river boat that can fit under all those old bridges in Europe.
Right.
They have a top deck, but it's collapsible, like a sun deck, because sometimes if the water is really, really high, the boat can't get under the bridges. And in that case, they have to bus people to different places and then back to spend the night. So, if you're going from point A to B to C, on the first day it might bus you to B and then back to A. Then on the next day, they bust you all the way to C and then back to A. And there's nothing they can do about it. It's not their fault. It's just whether the river is high or sometimes it's low and there's not enough draft for the boat. Doesn't happen often, but when it happens, people are very disappointed.
Yes. So. Well, that's a good thing to keep in mind.
Yeah.
We welcome your phone calls, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is our guest. We're talking about travel on Vox Pop this afternoon, and we do welcome your calls or your emails, voxpop@wamc.org, or 1-800-348-2551. We go to this letter from Matthew. Hello, Gene. What is the best vacation to do that involves the Whitney Plantation in Louisiana?
Oh, I'm not familiar with that particular plantation, but I love anything that includes both the history and the charm and the beauty of those old plantations. I would recommend New Orleans. All right, New Orleans is a fabulous destination. It isn't just Bourbon Street. There's many, many great things to do in New Orleans, and I would probably combine it with something like that. You could also combine it with a small part of a Mississippi River cruise, which would be a great idea. And if you do go to New Orleans, you can either stay in that French Quarter area, but there's also a beautiful garden district and a trolley that goes through it that a lot of people don't know about. They only hear about the craziness of Bourbon Street. So I would probably combine something like that with New Orleans. Absolutely.
Yeah. Whitney Plantation seems to be about an hour to the west of New
Perfect.
Orleans.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So good day
perfect.
Trip there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Let's go to one more letter here, and then we'll take a break. This is we are flying into Costa Rica in September. We want to head straight to the Caribbean coastal area. Does it make sense to hire a car and drive there? We want to stay in various places along the coast. To maybe, and you're going to help me out here, Gene, is it Tortuguero?
Tortuguero, yeah.
Tortuguero, mm-hmm. Down to maybe Puerto de Talamanca?
Talamanca, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
If hiring a car doesn't make sense, how is the public transport? Thank you in advance.
Okay, the public transport isn't fabulous. Okay.
All right.
So we usually recommend to either rent a car or get a car and driver, okay, which you can do. Of course, one is less expensive than the other. However, driving there, the infrastructure along many of the coastal routes are not fabulous. A lot of dirt roads, a lot of potholes. You know, you're going to be going, you know, 35 miles an hour in some spots. So you want to think about that. I also am curious as where they're thinking about possibly flying into, because you can go into San Jose or you can go into Liberia, depending upon, you know, what other areas you want to see. I don't know. Costa Rica is in the center of the country and you'd probably find the best flights there. But then you definitely have to, you know, get on the road to the coast, you know. I wouldn't wing it. Let me put it that way. Every single place I've been booking is overpopulated with tourists right now. I mean, this over-tourism is going on everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And Costa Rica is no exception. So I would pre-plan like how many nights at each place. And then you can actually just get car transportation between the places. You don't necessarily, if you're going to be staying right at a resort for a couple of nights, you don't necessarily need a car while you're there. So you really got to do a good map search for the routes that you want to go on and things like that. Because I found that transportation, except for some of the between one major point and another major point, they've got great roads, and it's not that Costa Rica is not up to snuff. I mean, they're brilliant. They have one of the highest literacy rates in the world. They put all their money into education and ecotourism. Fantastic place to go. I think you'd love it. You might also want to look at a tour, maybe a small group tour, then that way you're traveling in, like, let's say, a minivan with some other people as well.
Right.
It just brings down the cost per person.
Well, we wish you well on that trip. Sounds beautiful. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll go back to the phone calls. We'll answer yours as well if you want to check in. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is our guest on Vox Pop this afternoon. We will continue with our travel fun right after this short break. Good morning, welcome, good afternoon. I knew I was going to do it at least once, and I did it, so the morning show host screwed up. Good afternoon, welcome to Vox Pop. Gene Gagnon is our guest. It's a travel Vox Pop this afternoon, and we thank you so much for being with us. We do welcome your input. We would love to hear from you. We have lines open, 1-800-348-2551. So your travel planning questions can be answered, 1-800-348-2551. You can also write to us, voxpop@wamc.org. We go to the telephones and head to Ballston Lake, where Janice resides. Hello, Janice. How are you?
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm well. Good to hear your voice. Let me.
I do usually listen in the morning, but I'm glad to hear you this afternoon.
Well, thank you very much. Let me ask you what your question is for Gene.
Gene, I heard you mention that the best way to get to just take JFK to make a direct flight over to Europe, and I'm wondering what would you recommend to get from the Albany area down to JFK if you don't want to drive?
Okay, so there's a couple of different options. There's a local company that offers a shuttle from Albany to JFK. Okay. It leaves once a day in the morning, gets there around 1:30, 2 o'clock, and it leaves once a day coming home, usually around 5:30 or 6. Now, the thing is, it's just a van, so you have to book it ahead of time because they do sell out. It's roughly about $150 round trip from Albany, a little bit less. They leave from Catskill and I think New Paltz or somewhere. You know, they do a couple of stops along the way. They're very, very reasonable. The pro advantage on that is that you're not driving and it's reasonably cost. The disadvantage is your flight might get in at 1:30 or 2 o'clock on the day you're coming home. You have to wait until that shuttle comes back at like 6 o'clock, 6:30 at night. Okay, so that's a disadvantage, but it's one of the most economical ways to do it. You could also take a train into New York City and then take AirTran, which is a combination, it's like a subway, out to the transportation center at JFK. You can also, if you do want to drive, you can look at nonstop flights out of Newark. Newark is actually, to me at least, it's a little bit faster and a little bit easier to get to than JFK if I'm going to be driving. So I don't mind driving down to Newark, and they have good long-term parking there too. There are also several companies that will actually pick you up at your house and drive you there. That's one of the more expensive ways to do it. That's about $550 one way from the Albany area, a little bit less if you're closer to the city. But they would actually pick you up door to door. And the nice thing about that is when you get home and you're tired after this long flight to Europe, you walk out and bam, you're in a car. You know, you're home before some people are even, you know, on the shuttle. So that's a luxury. Okay. Now, if you're traveling with other people, you could, of course, split that. So if it's four or five of you, that becomes more reasonable. There is also another service that people have now where there is someone who will come to your home, drive your car there, drive it back, park it back in your garage, and then a week or whenever later, they go back to your garage and get your car and drive down and pick you up. That's not, it's wow. not an unreasonable wow. cost. It's about $225 or $250 each way.
A little okay? more if you want them to stay over, feed the dog.
Take care mow of, the lawn, do the windows.
Lawn. Yeah, a little more for that.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a great service. I've had people use it and they loved it because it's like kind of a, you know, half of one, six and a dozen of the other. It's great. They love it. So there's lots of options to get down there. But plan ahead because they all sell out. Okay?
Okay. Okay. And you're not allowed to name any names or companies, I don't think, right?
I think if you look up on Google just shuttle to JFK from Albany, there's not going to be a lot that come up.
Okay? All right.
Okay.
Janice,
all right.
Best
okay,
of
thanks
luck.
So much.
Thanks so much for the call. We appreciate
you.
It. Be well.
Okay.
All right. We go to this this email from Tito in Chatham. Wants to know the best way to find out about attractions, perhaps online, about places that I should visit when I'm visiting a city. Often the traditional travel sites are very commercial, very family oriented, and quite frankly, don't really seem all that exciting.
Right. Okay. There's a couple of companies that I like to look at. One of them is Frommer's. Now, yep. long time ago, there was an actual man named Arthur Frommer.
Right, yep, right. We had him on this show. Yep.
No, you did not.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
The real Arthur Frommer?
I believe so.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I am impressed.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. Okay. Anyway, and he had a series of guidebooks that are now, you can look at them online. So you can go into Frommer's.com and put in the name of your destination. I feel that they're really good. And they sometimes even give itineraries. Like they'll say, if you're in London for one day, do this. If you're there for 3 days, add this and this. If you're there for 5 days, add this, this, and this. So that's a great, great thing to look at. And if there are cities that I've read all the other, besides Frommer's, is Fodors, Fodors. They're another travel company that still prints guidebooks.
Yep.
So I check that. But there are a lot of bloggers and things like that nowadays. And if you, for example, were going to Dubrovnik and you put in top 10 things to do in Dubrovnik, there's going to be 5 or 6 of these people who love to travel, and they're going to list some of the things and read through them and see if it's interesting to you, and then take it a step further. If they recommend an attraction, then look up that attraction. You know, so I do that a lot. Now, if you go to a good travel agent, they will also supply you with that information. What should I do? Where should I stay? Where can I go eat? You know, and you might get something more personal that way of somebody who's actually experienced it. But there's lots of great information out there. Sometimes a little knowledge is a dangerous thing as far as we're concerned.
Yes.
But it's out there. You can find it. You just have to read and take everything with a grain of salt, and then maybe check another site to see if another site backs up that same information.
All right. Let's go to this letter, and then we'll go back to the phones. Hello, Jean, writes Elizabeth. Could you kindly speak about educational trips to Cuba, general things to think about and to consider?
Okay. First of all, there's no reliable Wi-Fi there. So if you need to be in constant contact with someone back home, that might be a consideration. The educational tours do have time for fun as well. So, you know, on one day you might be going to a cigar factory, but then maybe that afternoon you have a couple of hours free to roam around town. The infrastructure is not great. You know, their idea of a five-star hotel is probably something that we would consider a 3. I've had people complain about the hotels, but no one has ever come back and complained about the people. Love the people, love the food, the music. It's hard. There's a lot of paperwork to fill out for it. You usually have to take a charter flight out of Miami. So you have to get to Miami. And if you're going in the wintertime, you have to say, maybe I should go in a day ahead of time in case my flight is canceled. So there's a lot of that. But I think it would be very rewarding for anyone to go. We've done several group trips in the past, and people really, really loved it.
We go to the phones. Madeline is in Rhinebeck, New York, knee-deep in the Hudson Valley with a question about Alaska. Hello, Madeline. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
A great pleasure.
It's sort of Alaska, but it's also Canada. Mm-hmm. I want to go to Cape Dorset in West Baffin Island, where they have the Eskimo art concentration.
Right.
But I feel like as long as I'm that far, maybe I could incorporate that somehow with seeing Alaska.
You possibly could. When are you thinking about trying to go?
I can go anytime. I'm retired, happily.
Okay. If you're going to combine it with Alaska, I would definitely recommend you don't go between September maybe 5th and maybe April 25th or the end of April, because Alaska kind of shuts down. I had somebody that had to go up to Alaska for a conference in the second week of September, and we had difficulty finding attractions and things like that that were open. The rail mm-hmm. only operates on certain days. The ferries only operate on certain days, and you're probably going to have to do a combination of ferry and flight and cruise mm-hmm. in order to do mm-hmm. it right, you know. But yeah, I would definitely right. agree with that. It's so far and take so long to get there that you want to take advantage of that as much as you can and see as much as you can while you're there. Maybe even go, you know, we mentioned Alaska. Everyone thinks of the Inland Passage. But, you know, to get right. up into the interior and to see Denali National Park mm. and Mount McKinley, it's really, really right. breathtaking. And you right. would really want to combine it with that. That being said, it's not inexpensive. You know, even eating mm-hmm. there and hotels there, they have to make all their money within like 4 or 5 months of the year.
Right.
So it's right. it's usually pretty pricey. I tell people if they're going on like a cruise tour kind of thing, just doing Alaska, mm-hmm. and we're not even talking about going to the Baffin Islands yet, mm-hmm. to figure for two people at least like $10,000. So you have to bear that okay. in mind. You know, when you're okay. looking to go. You can do it a little less okay. expensively if you don't take the cruise along the Inland Passage, but then you miss right. a lot of things like Skagway right. and Juneau, right. the Mendenhall Glacier, things like that. So that's the mm-hmm. way I would recommend doing it. I would probably do Baffin first, then
okay.
take the long haul up to Fairbanks, and then come down from there. You know, that's okay. probably the way I
and
would
let me
do
just
it.
Ask you, when I look at Cape Dorset, mm-hmm. I mean, there's one hotel I see that looks like a barrack.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
a farm
that's what it's going to
be. Anything else there?
No. That's what it's going to be like. I mean, I've had
packed the fatigues, Madeline. You're know? Going to
I
the
mean,
base.
I mean, come on. You got to think about it. Is somebody going to invest the millions and millions and millions of dollars in the infrastructure for the few people that are going to go there? You know, I mean, you know, if you build it, they will come. Doesn't always work, you know. But yeah, but you know, you could definitely do it. I think it would be a very exciting trip.
Right. Okay. Thanks so much.
Thanks
Madeline,
for calling.
Have so much fun planning.
Bye-bye.
That's great to share with you. Thank you very much. We welcome your calls. We are just about out of time. So last call on the calls, 1-800-348-2551. Our good friend, Father Tony. Father Tony is pastor of St. Michael's in South Glens Falls, and a great listener and a dear friend, and we like him very much. He is wondering, would like to have a church tour to France, and I'm having a devil of a time finding a tour that does not include Spain or Portugal. It would be for next spring. Do you have any thoughts?
Oh, I've got lots of thoughts. Yeah, there are definitely tours. You're not looking at the right. You're not looking at the right vendor or talking to the right people, Father. There are definitely tours that you could do that are just France. And if it's going to be a church group, you might want to include Lourdes. Maybe not. I don't know. You know what you're thinking about, but they're out there. I can't really talk about vendors. Now,
right.
but there are tours, and you can go, just so you know, you can find a good travel agent up in your area if you want, and talk to them about it. They'll help you set it up. They'll take the registrations. They'll handle the money, and you've got the benefit of probably going with the trip.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So we do that all the time. We do it with things like the Bethlehem Chamber, the Albany Regional Chamber. We've done it for libraries, church groups, schools. So I know there are good people up there you could talk to, so I would check that out.
Father Tony, always good to hear from you. Thank you very much for checking in. You know, we were talking earlier about somebody who was planning a trip for 300. Father Tony obviously mm-hmm. is planning a trip for a much smaller church group. Is there a point, when does it start getting too big? When does it kick in?
Well, you got to think that most of the time when you're going anywhere, you're going to travel between places in a motor coach.
Yeah.
And that's 50, 55 people. But you don't want to put 50 people on a 55 coach motor. So I usually say 40. I've taken 44, but 40 is the biggest. It's much better. Most people nowadays like a smaller group tour. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to like Vietnam in October, and we're going to have 18 people. That's like perfect. You're not
that
waiting.
That does seem perfect.
Oh, yeah. You know, you're getting the idea of a group rate, but you're not with 40 of your new best friends, you know? So.
And then all the more reason, because they're so small, to book early and to get all that information,
absolutely.
Because they fill up really quickly.
And they're a little bit more expensive.
Yeah.
So we're on a full-size coach, for example. We were just in, where was I? I was in Scotland. We were on a full-size coach, and we had 24 people. Everybody had a window seat. Everybody had their bags next to them on the empty seat.
Oh, that's fun.
It's great. It's great. And it's much more intimate. Everybody ends up knowing each other on a first name basis. We have a lot of fun.
Well, we are having a lot of fun here. We are out of time, unfortunately. I want to thank everyone who called in. Apologize if we didn't get to your question this time around. Big thanks to Gene Gagnon of Plaza Travel Center for joining us. You're a delight. Thank you so much
for
being with us.
Thank you.
Enjoy. Where's your next? Where are you going off to next?
I'm going to Vietnam.
Oh, that's the next
October.
Trip in October.
Yeah,
all
I got
right.
two seats left. I'm like,
all right.
We got to get that.
Oh, we'll get there. Underwriting support for Vox Pop comes from Agricultural Stewardship Association, working to help people conserve farmland and forests in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve working land for good forever. agstewardship.org. Also, Ballet Flowers and Design, Malta, New York, a family-owned garden center and flower farm offering landscape, wedding design services, perennials, annuals, herbs, and interactive classes, balletflowers.com. Thanks again for joining us today on Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Thanks to Ed Rosen for answering the phones. I'm Joe Donahue. Tomorrow, we talk about comic book and sports card collecting with Bill Townsend and Al Itzkoff. All of that coming up at 2 o'clock. Have a good afternoon, everybody.